verses 16 through 30. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. There's more reading in the book of Mark, but when we think about this rich young ruler that comes to Jesus and asks what he needs to do for eternal life, many have that own question. They, you know, there has to be something I have to do, because the life that we live, we know that nothing comes easy, nothing comes free. I mean, if you want to buy food, well, you need some money, and to have money, you got to work a job, or have a rich relative that leaves you $1 million, you know, and probably most of us probably don't have a rich relative that, you know, has millions of dollars to leave. I do know of a man, if you know the name Elon Musk, who is the founder of Tesla, the electric car, it is said that he is the richest man, and he has so much money, correct me if I'm wrong, that he could give, is it a billion or a million? He could give $1 million to every single person in this country, and it would not phase his bank accounts. So you know what? If we had a relative like that, we'd be like, oh, Uncle Elon. We'd be like, I'm your favorite nephew, cousin, aunt, whatever, right? So it's amazing that, you know, again, somebody like that who has that much money that it would not affect them to give $1 million to every single person in this country, yet what does that proffer him? You guys got to forgive me this morning. I am still tired. I think I went in the bed about 4 a.m., so I'm still trying to wake up. But what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us, what does it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Again, the mindset of people, most people, some people, is, well, if I had this, then I'd be okay. And usually it's money. If I had this much money, then I would be okay. But it's not true, because so many people have taken their own life having money, because money was not making them happy. It wasn't satisfying the void in their life that only Jesus Christ can fill. And in the case with this rich young ruler, okay, he has possessions, But he comes to Jesus with the right question. Basically, what do I have to do? You know, I want to go to heaven, so what do I have to do? What does somebody have to do to go to heaven? Well, the Bible's clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because you remember the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip come along. Philip got up in his chariot and was expounding to him the scriptures where the eunuch was reading in Isaiah. And they came to a body of water, and the eunuch had the chariot stop and asked Philip, well, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? What would keep me from being baptized? So obviously Philip explained baptism to the eunuch. So he's saying, okay, well, here's water. What would prevent me from being baptized? He said, if thou believest. And the eunuch says, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And they went down into the water and he got baptized. All right? But this rich young ruler just wanted something to do. He wanted something to be added to the list of things he already did. Because Jesus answered his question with a list of things to do because he knows the heart. And Jesus lists off commandments for him to do. Look back, if you would, at Matthew 19, and let's look at, all right, look at verse 16 again. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? What good things? So he knows you have to be good to go to heaven. That's his mindset. You have to be good. You have to be pleasing to God. He understands, you know what? I can't live a sinful, wicked life and get to heaven. So he says, what good thing do I have to do? All right. Again, Jesus knowing his heart, first he tells him, you know, there's no one good. Because again, he understands the heart. He knows that this young ruler thinks he's good, that he's done enough, but okay, what else do I need to do? And he says, there's only one that's good, and that is God, because God is perfect, God is holy. All right, but he says in the end of verse 17, but if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. All right, and then the rich young ruler says, okay, which one? So Jesus gives him a list. He says, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these I've kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Number one, he's a liar. Because the last thing Jesus said was, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young ruler says, okay, I've done all that from my youth up. What do I lack? And what does Jesus tell him to do? Well, Jesus says, if thou wilt be perfect in verse 21, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. So he gives him a list of things to do. He says he's kept all of that, but he's a liar because when Jesus says, sell all you have, give to the poor, he can't do it. But Jesus just mentioned one of the commandments was to love your neighbor as thyself. But he can't do it. He just cannot part with his riches and to give to the poor. That would be loving your neighbor. Because remember, Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan, where there was a Jewish man that had left and he was going to travel. And he was jumped by robbers, and he was beaten within inches of his life. And you had a Levite come by, wouldn't help the beaten man. You had a priest come by, wouldn't help the man. But then you had a Samaritan who came and looked on him and had compassion and bound up his wounds and put him on his own donkey and took him back into town and paid for the hotel and told the innkeeper, you know what, I'm leaving, but whatever he needs, take care of it. When I come back, I'll pay you for it. All right. And Jesus, you know, he's talking to the Pharisees. He says, which one of these, you know, did good? And they all agreed, you know, the Samaritan. And Jesus, obviously, in that account, was trying to teach the Jews that, because the Jews hated the Samaritans, all right, they were prejudiced against the Samaritans. Even Jesus' own disciples were prejudiced against the Samaritans because that's how they grew up. But here, the rich young ruler, when he is confronted with the one thing that Jesus knew ruled in his heart, that's the one thing that Jesus said, sell all you have. Because he cared more about his riches than anything else. Sometimes as humans, we're okay with doing things that, okay, doesn't really affect us. He was okay honoring his parents. He was okay not being a fornicator. He was okay doing the other things, but when it came to really giving his stuff away, he just couldn't do it. So when you think about the rewards that we have in heaven, they far exceed anything that we gain here. Again, God blesses people financially. Again, I know of a person that just, man, they just constantly give on themselves. And God just keeps blessing them financially, and they just keep giving it away. I mean, taking care, the mother's passed on now, but this daughter taking care of the mother where her own brothers wouldn't. Her own brothers wouldn't work a job. And it's not that they're teenagers. I mean, they're like up in their 50s and 60s and just wouldn't even lift a finger to help. But this daughter took care of the mother, everything, paid for everything, and then even paid for stuff for the brothers. And God sees that, and God sees a person that he knows, you know what, I'll keep giving them because I know they're going to keep giving it out and using it. Again, we don't do good works to get to heaven, but the good works we do prove whose children we are, the children of God. So when you think about this lesson, this young rich ruler, all right, Jesus' first point to him is the commandments of Moses, all right, and he gets really to the heart of the matter because, again, there's nothing anyone can do to enter into eternal life. Jesus did the work. Now, as Jesus did many wonderful works during his time on earth, he never failed to take advantage of a teachable moment with his disciples. Jesus was always teaching, even when it came to Peter, even when it came to the others. He always took opportunity to teach people the lessons of life through the lens of God's word. And let me encourage all of us, and this is for me too, never stop having a desire to learn. Allow yourself to always be teachable. I've known of people, you couldn't teach them anything. And I'm talking about from God's word. Oh, I already know that. And yet they would do the exact opposite of what God's word says. Because let me ask you, does God bless when we obey his word? Is obeying God's word always something exciting to do? Depends on what it is. But it's always the right thing to do. But the flesh sometimes fights against doing the right thing. Just in this case, the flesh of this young ruler was fighting against really surrendering his life to Christ, because that's really what it is. It's not that, and the devil wants to get people off the straight and narrow path. If he can get someone way off to the left side, where they're just, you know, I'm not worthy. You know, I got to live like a poor pauper, and I just got to live beat down in order to, you know, be a child of God. Then you got way off to the other side, like the Pharisee. Well, I'm so good, you know, I'm better than them, and, you know. But if you're in the center, the straight and narrow path, you realize, you know what? My life belongs to the Lord. It's not that God wants me to be poor and living in the ditch, but he doesn't want my heart and life to be wrapped up in material things. He does bless his people financially. He blesses them with material things. He blesses them with relationships, but all of that is to be used to glorify him. Again, we don't want to be in a place with this rich young ruler where, you know what, the things of this world are more important than the eternal things. That's why Jesus said that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he said, you know what, store up your treasures in heaven. Right? Well, how do you do that? It's the eternal things that are more valuable. What you have, how can I use my life and what God's given me? How can I use it to glorify God and to lift up the name of Christ? All right? Again, it's all what Jesus wants us to do. And there'll be times, you know what, where he will ask us to give something away that may be something that's very valuable to us, something that's very sentimental, something that, you know what, you've never given it away and it's the one thing God wants you to give away. Think about Abraham. What was it God asked Abraham to give back? His son, Isaac. I mean, this was the promised son. This was, you could say, this was the miracle child. Because Sarah was past age. Her womb was not bearing children. You know, she was past that age. But yet, God promised Abraham a son. Now, in their mind, you know, Sarah's mind, Sarah's thinking, well, you know what? I am past childbearing age, so maybe, okay, Hagar, I'll give my handmaid to Abraham. And it was something they did in that time, you know, because to raise children and stuff. And let me just say this, just because it's in the Bible does not mean it's right. Now, what I mean by that, is polygamy right? No, because God created one man, one woman, and said that those two would become one, right? Do you see polygamy in the Bible? Yeah. Fortunately, Solomon had, what was it, 300 wives, 700 concubines, something like that. I mean, basically he had 1,000 wives. Wow. I mean, it's like dumb. And they were from all different nations and stuff. I mean, and what happened? His heart was drawn away from God. So when you think about Scripture, Abraham had an opportunity to hold on to Isaac, or to be willing to give him back, and to give him back the way God wanted him to give him back. Now, it's not a way that any parent would choose. Unfortunately, you know, the devil, he's all about human sacrifice. God's not. And Abraham knew that, but Abraham also wanted to obey God, and God said, you know what? You're going to go up to this mountain. You're going to sacrifice your son. And Abraham was willing to do that. So much so, he got up early that morning. He gathered the wood, the fire. I mean, everything he needed, they went. And then he had his servants stay at the bottom of the mountain while Isaac and him went up. And he specifically says, you guys stay here. We're going up to worship God. And even when Isaac says, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? So Isaac knew about sacrificing to God. He knew about worshiping God, and he's like, okay, I see the firewood. Actually, I'm carrying the firewood, because it did say that he put the wood on Isaac's back so he could carry it. And he probably sees, you know, his dad's, you know, dagger. And he's like, okay, well, where's the lamb? And his dad, Abraham, just says, God will provide himself a lamb. And it's an amazing thing that Abraham, he's more than willing to give God what he wants. But have you ever thought about the fact that so was Isaac? Abraham's old. He's over 100. Isaac is a young, strapping boy. What, Dad? oh, you're not binding me. You're not putting me on that altar. And he could have took off running. But the fact the Bible records that he bound Isaac and put him on the altar, which means Isaac also had to surrender his life. He also had to surrender his life. Abraham surrendered to God what God wanted, which was Isaac. And Isaac surrendered his life to the Lord by willingly laying down and allowing his dad to bind him. Both of them trusting God, both of them knowing their life belonged to the Lord. And you know the outcome. God stopped Abraham. God was just testing Abraham's faith, but Isaac's faith was tested as well. So whatever in our life right now that we think is more valuable than anything, it's a stumbling block, it's an idol, it's something between us and God. It's something that's blocking our relationship between us and God. Because everything we have, your finances, your homes, your cars, your jobs, all the things in your life that you have, God's given it to you. And that's hard to imagine. Well, I worked for this. You know, I earned this. This was given to me. How is it that God gave it? God has allowed us to have these things. I understand the only reason why I have 10 kids, it's not because of me. It's not because of my wife. It's because of God. Because my wife and I, we talked before we had kids, and I was just, man, Lord, if I can just have one son. Because I wanted the name to be carried on. I didn't want to be the last Middleton. I also wanted a daughter, too. And I can imagine when my wife and I were talking about that, and I had that thought, I can imagine God just kind of, wait and see. You're going to have five. Five and five. You're going to have a choir. You're going to have a church congregation. You're going to have a soccer team. I mean, I have it all. And every one of my kids are instrumental in the ministry. I mean, when I first went into the ministry, Dylan and Tyler, 13? They're 13? They were 14. And Nathan would have been 16, right? Nathan playing the piano. Dylan and Tyler both were leading music, doing different things. I mean, they all have the different things. And as the kids are growing, they all are, you know, Matt works back there in the sound booth. Emily plays the piano. And, you know, everyone's got things that they do. And I look back and go, wow. And it's like, how in the world did these kids become so musically inclined? I cannot read music, nor can I play. And you already know I can't sing because Peter laughed at me on a Wednesday night. But we all laughed because I can't sing. I will never say, oh, I got a good voice. I got a good voice in the car by myself. Right, Ms. Pat? You're raising your hand. So, you know, some people have been blessed. But what I'm saying is I understand, I know you understand too, that what we have, it's not ours. God's given it to us. And God wants us to be willing to give it back. He doesn't want our hearts to be so wrapped up in family or finances or jobs, possessions. He wants our hearts really to be wrapped up in Him so that, you know what? When He says, I want you to do this, I want you to give this, okay. Right? Because what was it Jesus said? He talked about if you have two coats, give one away. Now, and you know, we'll probably end up getting to the Sunday school lesson at some point. But I think this is really part of it because again, it does matter where our heart is because okay, Jesus said if you have two coats, give one away. Okay, I only have one coat, so I don't have to give one away. No, that's not what he was saying. Because, well, if you only have one coat, and what if God tells you, give that coat to that person? Oh, no, no. Jesus said, if I had two, I only have one. But you know where the heart is. Jesus said, issues of life come out of the heart. out of the heart, the mouth speaks. If our heart is in tune with God, if we truly love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, then we will love others just like God. We'll do unto others as we would like for them to do unto us. Doesn't mean they will, but because our heart is so much in love with God, we're willing to give whatever it is. I mean, I recently got a free chicken coop that is 100 times bigger than the little one I have. And I've almost got it prepped to move my chickens from the little one to the big one. But this is what I mean, because I was spending time on the internet trying to find plans on how to build one. I had it in my mind. The price of lumber is so expensive. It was like, Lord, how am I going to do this? And then as I was talking to somebody, I got one. And there were some other things that I've been getting for free. And it's like, wow. I know this person has a heart for God. And the fact that God even allowed this to happen. And you might think, well, chicken coop, what's the big deal? But it is a big deal. Because it shows me that, you know what? God does care. And the fact that somebody's willing just to, hey, here you go. That's how we are to be with what God's given us, what's in our possession. We don't want to be like this rich young ruler. I want you to go back, because in your notes, we read Matthew, but you should have the account listed in Mark as well. Is that in your notes? Does it have the reading of Mark? Okay, look at Mark then. Mark chapter 10 there in your notes. And starting in verse 17, it says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled down to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God.'" I mean, that statement is just so true. Aren't you glad that God is good? He's good all the time because he's good. He can never do anything wrong. He can never do one evil thing. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. God does good all the time. Does he always do what we want? No. But he always does what's right. He always does what's right for us, even though it may not be what we want. Paul asked for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, and God said, no. Instead, my grace is going to be your strength. All right? Verse 19, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said to him, "Master, all these I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." Now, before I read that next verse, I ask you a question. Just think about it. Don't answer me out loud. Just think about it. If Jesus physically was right here, and he went to each of us, maybe even took us aside, and asked us, because he knows everything about us, and asked us one thing to give away, one thing to give up. Again, it could be anything. Because again, Jesus says in verse 21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest.'" Jesus knew there was something he was lacking. And he loved this young man, just as he loves you and me. But he knew there was something lacking in his life spiritually. Would we be willing? It's easy to say yes right now. But would we truly be willing if Jesus? And again, you're thinking, well, he's physically not here. We physically will not see him until we see him face to face after the rapture. But don't dismiss it, because God asks for things all the time from us. He asks all the time for us to give things up that are hindering our walk with him, that are hindering us from hearing his voice more clearly. And God's desire, remember, our faith is more precious than gold to him. So you're very valuable to him. He loves you just as Jesus loves his young ruler. He says, one thing thou lackest. And he tells him what to do. Because the one thing he lacked was a real walk with Jesus. Because he tells him, sell what you have, give to the poor. That's basically give up what you think is important to you. Give up what somebody else needs. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, because the treasure in heaven is God recognizes that. God recognizes out of the goodness of your heart what you've done. And he says, come take up the cross and follow me. Now, he had done religion. He kept the commandments. He said, I've done all that from my youth up. What lack I yet? And what he lacked was a real walk with Christ. Because a real walk with Christ, we learn sacrificial love. We learn unconditional love. We learn that, you know what? My life belongs to the Lord. Not as a slave, as a friend. I get to walk with him. But again, the things that he allows me to have and gives to me, he wants to use to bless other people. It's never meant for our hearts to be turned away from the Lord. Again, when I think about Solomon, Solomon did not choose to be the next king after his father David. But when it was time for Solomon to sit on the throne, Solomon goes. He doesn't go to the right place to offer sacrifices. He goes up to the groves. But he offers 1,000 sacrifices to the Lord with a right heart. It's just, that's where they went at the time. That's just, it wasn't the right place. But he goes, he offers 1,000 sacrifices to the Lord. And then God speaks to him in a dream, because he's seeking God. He's seeking God's wisdom. And God says to Solomon, ask anything you will, I'll give it to you. Now, what would most people do if someone said, you ask anything, I'll give it to you. No limit. Whatever you want. Most people, I want $1 million. Most people go for the money. I want $1 million. I want this, I want that. But the God of heaven, who can do anything and give us anything and do anything for us, asked Solomon, whatever you want, you ask, you can have it. Because God knew Solomon's heart. And Solomon said, I need wisdom. I don't know how to be a king. I don't know how to go in and out before the people. I don't know how to judge your people. He says, give me wisdom that I can go in and out before your people. I can judge your people. And God said, because you did not ask for the life of your enemy, you didn't ask me to kill anybody, you didn't even ask me for riches, you asked for my wisdom, God says, I'm going to give you riches. You're going to have peace among the enemies of God. I mean, God blessed him because his heart was all about wanting God and God's wisdom to live the life that God had given him, to be that good king. But what happened? The wisdom of God did not fail Solomon. The wisdom of God did not fail Solomon. What failed Solomon was not guarding his heart. Because God gave him wisdom, so much wisdom that kings and queens from all over were coming to hear from Solomon, and they were amazed at his wisdom. But the thing is, I think Solomon got too smart for his britches. He got too lifted up in himself, and he started doing things that was not of God. Again, collecting wives. And it was a collection. Did he really love 1,000 different wives? I think his eyesight, he saw, and you know what? I want her to be my wife. I want her, you know. And then he started trying everything under the sun. Drinking, partying. I mean, it's all listed in Scripture, everything he did. And at the end of it, he goes, you know what? It's better to fear God. I mean, he tried all of that. He even talked about he was trying to find happiness. He had the wisdom of God, but he ignored it when it came to his personal life. He wanted the wisdom of God to do God's business, being the king. But when it came to his personal life, he kind of, I got this, God. I know what to do. And it got him into trouble. And it affected his heart. Because the Bible specifically says those wives turned his heart away from God. Because they were not all Jewish women. They were women of the different nations that were God haters. So I'm saying the devil tempts us with our eyes. That's exactly what he did with Eve in the garden. Is she saw the fruit that it was good. Her husband, obviously, Adam, he didn't question. He took the fruit himself. They didn't guard their heart. Now, as far as I know, you know, everyone in here is a born-again believer. You're saved. You've testified of your salvation at some point to me. But we have to guard our heart. Salvation can never be taken away, but our hearts can be turned away from the Lord. All right? Again, we're going to be looking more at this the next two Sundays as far as, you know, the lesson on rewards, because the reward of heaven in our hearts and minds should far outweigh anything that we receive on this earth. And what we receive on this earth, we should have that mindset that, you know what, I want to glorify God with this. If God wants it back, I'll give it back. God knows we can pretend among ourselves. I have no weakness. You know, whatever God wants, I'll give it to him. But in our hearts, we know, I'll give God anything he wants except this one thing. I'll give God all my heart except for this one corner I'm not going to give to him. But God wants us to have a heart that we're willing to give, Lord, whatever it is you want. Because we know our life belongs to him. He's already prepared a wonderful place for us that far out exceeds any place we've lived on this earth. But again, the devil's always trying to get us more focused on worldly things instead of heavenly things. He's always trying to get us focused on ourselves instead of on God. Because when we see life through the eyes of God, we see how precious life is. We see how much God loves us. Because again, it's said in Mark about the young ruler, God loved him. Jesus loved him enough to try to help him. But he didn't want the help. And it says that the young ruler, he went away sad. He went away sad because he had much possessions. So you think about, we can have the joy of the Lord, which is really sadness, because it doesn't really help us eternally, right? Or the joy of the Lord that really helps us to see things in God's perspective. So again, when you think about this account, we already know there's nothing that you have to do to earn salvation, right? But we also don't want to live our life knowing, okay, I have to do this because this is what the Bible says. But I'm still going to do this because this is what I want. It doesn't coincide. God truly wants to bless each of his children. No matter what your age is, you are a child of God. You're his son, you're his daughter, and he wants to show you great things. So don't let the things of this world have such a grip on your heart that you cannot let go in order for God to bless you. I heard a story one time, and I'll end with this. I heard a story one time of a father who gave his daughter a pearl necklace that he got, you know, from the toy store. You know, there wasn't real pearls. It was just a, you know, but it's what she really wanted. And I mean, she just got it for her birthday and opened it up, and she, oh, I love those pearl necklaces, even though they weren't real, but she loved them. She always kept up with them. She'd go to bed at night, and she would just have them right there. So when she got up in the morning, she could put them on. Well, one night, her dad, as he tucks her in, says, honey, can I have that necklace? No, Daddy. I love that necklace. You gave it to me. I know. Okay. The next night, same thing. Honey, can I have that necklace? No, Daddy. You gave that to me. I love that necklace. Okay. The third night, honey, can I have that necklace? Daddy, you know how much I love that necklace, but I love you more, so here. And she gave the necklace to her daddy with tears in her eyes. And without her knowing it, he pulls out of his pocket another pearl necklace, but it was real pearls, and gave it to her. Sometimes we try to hold on to things that really have no value, and God wants to give us something that has value. And we have to be willing to give it to God because we know that he loves us. Again, God's always looking to reward his children. But we have to be willing to give back to God what he's given us.